Welcome everyone to Xena Nubers Podcast, aka XNU. My name is Cass and I will be your pod host. Also, welcome back to those of you who have been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode number 108. This podcast show is for all the Xena Nuber subtext stories that are out there that have not been given a voice. So hello everyone, welcome to another XNU show and episode. I hope everyone is doing well. Me, myself, and I, and my partner are doing fabulously well. So everything else is falling into place, and we continue on. I, myself, continue on with my training, as everybody knew, for the marathon. And before we get into this, I've got to just really make a little thing that I've discovered. That I don't know if anybody out there has done any running before, and if you have, you can appreciate this. But I was out there running today, and I realized that there's one good thing about not eating food before you go for a run, because that has a tendency to come back at you, usually around 2-3 mile mark. And I was out there today, and I realized I should not have had that Thai for lunch with all that garlic. It was not a pretty picture. No, not at all. That's like lesson 103. Do not eat this before you go running. Because it will come back and haunt you. So I was like, I'm going to write all these little things down for future reference so that one day I can look back and go, oh, no, don't do that, Cass. That's not a good idea. But I just had to say that because I had to get that out of my system. But as I was sitting there way out there in the middle of nowhere running, and my stomach's, heartburn. Let me tell you, this does not generate more speed. Burning of that kind of fuel does not generate any more speed. Just, It's one of those, like, health advisory warnings. Do not do this. So, anyway, we're going to get into the show. The song snippet that you hear on this week's episode is Her, and it's Away From Here. And let's get into the show. Okay, in the book review this week, I've brought it to you myself, and the reviews over at the Les Fiction review site that I had mentioned on the show once, and this week's book recommendation is Never Say Never by Linda Hill, and in the review recommendation, it says, Never Say Never is the story of Leslie and Sarah, who both work for the same computer company. Leslie is an out, but not to her co-workers, lesbian, while Sarah is straight. When circumstances have them working and traveling together for several months, they become fast friends. Haunted by memories of past rejection, Leslie is hesitant about coming out to Sarah. On the other hand, she doesn't want to jeopardize their friendship by being dishonest about who she is. When Leslie finally trusts Sarah enough to tell her she's a lesbian, Sarah fulfills Leslie's worst fear and cuts her off. This could have been the end of a friendship, but as time will prove, it actually is the beginning of something more than a friendship, as Sarah and Leslie are once more teamed up on a business trip. At this point, Leslie is fighting a serious attraction to Sarah, but if Leslie has one rule that she lives by, it's never, ever get involved with a straight woman, as she knows from past experience that it is the direct way to a broken heart. Instead, she takes on a sweet young golf pro, who is more than willing to keep her entertained on her weekends away from home. For Sarah, seeing Leslie with a lover forces her to confront her own history and desires. Never Say Never has been a favorite, and the novel is based on a solid storyline that covers a reasonable time span, which allows the story and the attraction between Leslie and Sarah to unfold at a natural pace. The story is captivating with the ups and total downs of the relationship. It has sweet as well as heartbreaking moments, and it keeps you interested right to the end. So that's Never Say Never by Linda Hill, and you can check it over at the Lesbian Fiction Review site. There you go.
You snapped, haven't you?
All right. In this week's episode of The Quotes, we've got several quotes. We're going to go with, I think it's three of them. So the first one is, women are like phones. We love to be held and talk to you, but if you press the wrong button, you'll be disconnected. And then the other one is, I could have eaten alphabets and crapped out a better essay. And that was sent in by a teacher. And then last but not least, also sent in, and these are all sent in by my quote wench. And the last one is, stress is when you wake up screaming and you realize you haven't fallen asleep yet. And that one's from Anonymous. And I don't know about you, but I can certainly relate to that one. So thank you to Bobby for all the quotes. And it's time for the movie review. And in this week's movie review, sent in by Pam, my movie wench, we have Amy and Jaguar, and it was made in 2000. In 1943, as World War II battles for Berlin rages, and air raids forcing families into their cellars for shelter and bombs exploding all over the city, Felice Schragenheim and Lily Wust fall in love. Director Mass Faberbach's Amy and Jaguar tells the true story of this passionate, forbidden love affair, adapted from the 1998 book of the same title by Erica Fisher. Felice, a dark and beautiful Jewish woman who is constantly in danger of being apprehended by the Gestapo, works for a Nazi newspaper under a false name, feeding what she learns to underground resistance leaders. Lily, a flowery blonde housewife living in Bergdorf's comfort, raises four little boys, passing the time until her Nazi husband, Gunther, returns from the war. When the two meet and Felice makes advances, Lily responds, falling in total submission under Felice's spell. They nickname each other Amy and Jaguar, Amy being Lily and Jaguar being Felice. Spending every night dancing to popular 40s jazz music with Felice's eccentric lesbian friends, and every day raising the four boys who treat Felice like a second mother. It is not until the end of their affair when Lily, and soon thereafter the authorities, learns that Felice is a Jew, and tragedy befalls the couple. Given the subject matter, this really is a beautiful and powerful movie. It has been seen several times, and for those with a Netflix account, you can watch the movie online. So, thanks to Pam for sending that movie.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
Well, this is the point where I need to get your full attention. As everyone knows, I am doing the marathon, and at this point, this is where I ask you, the listener, to help me out. I don't ask anything of myself, that I am doing this for raising money for cancer research. I'm asking everyone to please, please take a moment, go to the site, click on my website, click on the blog, and donate some money, please. Anything and everything will be going towards the Lance Armstrong Foundation for Cancer Research. It does not come to me, it goes straight to them. I have a goal of $3,500 that I'm trying to raise, and so far I've got $760. If you want to click on the website, it's at www.livestrong.org, and actually go to my site, because you'll see my link is there to go and give credit to my name for this. And I'm running the New York City Marathon. That's 26.2 miles, or 42K, to raise money for the cancer research. Please, everyone, I'm asking, please take a moment, think about it, you know, $5, $10, $20, $100, whatever you find that you can donate. I'd really greatly appreciate you putting it in there. And it's for cancer research. It affects everybody. I have so much invested in this in so many levels, because my father-in-law has colon cancer, my wife's aunt, my aunt-in-law has breast cancer, and I have that I'm paranoid that yes, my wife will eventually wind up getting cancer because she's got that gene, and I know it affects everybody here. There's people out there who have cancer, or they have a friend, aunt, uncle, father, sister, brother, son. You know, it affects everyone. So please, take a moment out. It's $5, $10, $20, $100, whatever you can, whatever is in your heart that touches you. Please donate. Thank you very much.
Come and get me.
When Do You Know? By your host, Cass. Chapter 17. The next morning, before dawn, Gabrielle was up and out of her room and headed to where the Regent had told to meet her. Okay, first things first. We need to figure out what weapon will be best suited to you and be your preference, Effany stated as she had brought a few things in a bag. All right, let's start with the chobos, she said while handing them to Gabrielle. As Effany let go of them when placed in Gabrielle's hands, both the chobos and Gabrielle's arms fell to the ground, nearly toppling Gabrielle forward, face first, into the dirt. Okay, maybe not, Anthony said, picking them up out of her hands and returning them to the bag. "Let's try this," she stated, pulling out a wooden sword.
"A wooden sword?"
Gabriel said incredulously.
"Yes, a wooden sword.
It helps us train our young ones how to defend themselves without losing any important body parts in the process," Effany replied, while rolling her eyes.
"Oh, got it,"
replied Gabriel sheepishly. "Okay, now, this here is the hilt." Effany pointed to the end she held in her hand. "This end bit is the pommel, and the middle grip and the end is the quillion." Gabriel nodded in understanding. "The rest is the blade." Effany finished with a sweep of her hand. "Now, when you hold the sword, you hold it like this." She demonstrated as she took the sword in her grip. "Now, there are several hundred moves, all of which I cannot show you now. They come with seasons of practice and battles, but I can show you a few here today. Enough to get you comfortable holding the sword, protect yourself, and some even to kill the attacker." When she said kill, she saw Gabrielle blanch. "My lady, are you all right?" She reached over and touched Gabrielle's elbow with her hand.
Effany, have you killed someone?"
Gabriel swallowed hard.
"Yes, in battle. I had no choice. It was either me or them, and I'd really prefer it this way personally."
She tried a bit of humor, which did not work.
"Hey, it was a joke. My lady, come and sit here for a moment."
Effany led her over to a boulder.
"When we pick up a weapon, it is a conscious choice we make to either use it or put it back down. Anything can be a weapon. If you put it back down, you're saying you choose to do no harm to another. But if you use it, you're doing so by choice, regardless of whether it is in self-defense or not,"
Effany said, while squatting down in front of Gabrielle.
"But what if you're attacked?"
Gabrielle asked.
"You still have a choice. You can defend yourself or someone without taking life, or you can be the victim of the violent act. You can use many things as a weapon without killing someone. A chair to block and protect. A table to thwart them getting closer. You can..."
She stopped in mid-sentence, tilting her head and getting a small smile to her face.
"Effany?"
"Hold that thought. I'll be right back."
And she was up and running towards the Amazon encampment. Gabriel sat on the boulder, watching her run away. She turned her face towards the rising sun, bringing with it another day. She closed her eyes and relished the warmth of its greeting rays on her skin. She heard running steps and opened her eyes while turning to see Effany approaching with a grin on her face.
"Effany, is everything okay?"
"Yep. Let me ask you a question. You have never killed anyone, right?"
A bit out of breath.
"Oh no, never!"
Gabriel replied, a bit startled at the question.
"It's okay. I just wanted to make sure of something,"
Effany said, and put a hand on the halting motion in attempts to explain.
"The idea of killing someone bothers you."
"Oh, yes."
Gabrielle shuddered involuntarily, both from the notion of killing someone by her own hand and the cold.
"Then I have the perfect solution to all our needs,"
Effany stated proudly. Gabrielle looked at her with a questioning shake of her head.
"My lady Gabrielle, this is now yours,"
Effany announced, while handing Gabrielle a staff.
"What is it?"
she asked as she took hold of it and looked at it from one end to the other.
"It is a staff, and it can be one of many things. It can be used to aid you in walking. It can be used to feel at the depth of water in a creek."
She demonstrated by taking the staff back and walking several steps forward, turning and walking back, then poking in the ground as if in water.
"It can be used for a lot of things. You can really get creative with it. But for you, it is perfect. You see, since you do not have neither heart nor inclination to take a life, this can solve that bit of problem but still protect you or someone you choose to defend. Let me demonstrate."
She stood back and twirled the staff, then began a series of blocking moves, thrusts, jabs, and sweeps that captivated Gabrielle's attention completely.
"Wow, Effany, this is great. Please show me."
She approached Effany.
"As you wish, my lady, but I can only show you a few things this morning, as I must return soon and resume my normal duties for the day,"
Effany explained.
"If you wish to learn more, we can meet here in the mornings."
"Oh, yes, thank you, Effany, and I completely understand. I, too, have to get back before I'm noticed late for my duties."
She looked to the regent with admiration.
It is my honor, my lady, to be able to help you in this way."
She lowered her head slightly to hide the flush she felt on her cheeks. Gabrielle returned to her room,
stowing the staff in the corner and going to the kitchen to help with the morning duties that were well underway. Ophelia asked her to prepare the Conqueror's tray as she would be back soon.
From where, Elfie?
Oh, she's out on her training grounds, child. She was there last night, and then again this morning before the start of the day.
Something has possessed her right through, I tell you,
Ophelia said, shaking her head sadly.
Why do you say that?
Child, I've known her for too many seasons not to know when she is right mad, and something's got her good right now. Go look for yourself, child, and see with your own eyes. If you can see her, that is. She's nothing but a blur of speed. Then get your bum back here too quick. She shooed her off. The Conqueror was on the training ground. The rest of the troops were nowhere to be seen. Only Abraxas stood by, watching in silent awe at her skills. When Gabrielle came around the corner, she peered through one of the archers and watched in rapt fascination. The Conqueror had a sword in each hand, of which Gabrielle could only see a streak, as they were indeed nothing but blurs for the speed in which she moved. She swung and turned, parried and blocked, flipped and rolled, all at a speed even an immortal would be hard-pressed to keep up with. Finally, after almost a candle mark of constant movement, she began to slow down and eventually stopped. Putting the swords in their scabbards, she walked over to a barrel and lifted the ladle of water to her lips. Sensing a set of eyes on her other than Abraxas, she looked up, directly into Gabrielle's eyes. Gabrielle, who stood transfixed with mouth hanging open, staring back in amazement. The Conqueror's piercing steely blue eyes looking at her, looking into her, with such intensity it caused her to stop breathing. Then she blinked at what she thought she saw. She could have sworn she saw the Conqueror wink at her. She gasped at the notion, turned about, running towards the kitchen. Gabrielle returned to the kitchen, a shaking mess.
Child, what's happened to you?
Ophelia asked, looking up, sorting out the tray before her.
She saw me. She looked right at me. Right into me, she stammered. And winked.
She whispered to Les, as if trying to convince herself.
Calm down. She won't kill you, child. She probably didn't even see you. When she gets that way, she is so focused, she'll look through you and not even notice you there at all.
She finished loading the tray.
Now, get this tray up there. Safina's gotten her bath ready for her, and this needs to be up there for when she gets out. Yes, Sophie.
Taking a deep breath, she stood up from the stool she sat on and took the tray.
Don't worry, child. When she's had her bath and some food, she's not so intense.
Usually, Ophelia chuckled. Gabrielle gulped.
Usually?
She squeaked. Ophelia laughed even harder, and Gabrielle took the tray, feeling her knees begin to wobble. Safina and Gabrielle were cleaning up the bedchamber when a knock on the outer door sounded.
Seth, tell whoever it is I'm in no mood today.
The Conqueror growled from a bath.
Yes, Lord Conqueror,
Safina replied and went to the door. Muttered words were exchanged, and Safina returned to help Gabrielle finish cleaning the room while she set the meal out. Gabrielle was putting the Conqueror's clothes out for her to dress when she looked up to see her standing at the doorway to her bedchamber, looking straight back at her. Her hair was glistening, still damp from its washing. She was wearing a long silk red robe that was tied off at the front, leaving an alluring V-shaped opening that showed the middle of a full and ample cleavage. Gabrielle swore she was looking upon a goddess, then suddenly realized she was gawking and eyeing the Conqueror up and down like a child does with a piece of candy. Blushing profusely, she dropped her knees, waiting for some form of reprimand. When the Conqueror did not even acknowledge her, and merely walked over to her table and sat, it surprisingly disconcerted her. She stayed on her knees, several thoughts running through her mind.
Why hasn't she said anything? The last time we were alone, she let me touch her, even stopped me from bowing. She doesn't even seem to want to know me now. Why?
Moments later, she looked up to see the Conqueror looking at her again, but something in her eyes bothered Gabrielle deeply. She had not seen it there ever before when looking at her, but before she could figure it out, it was gone. In its place was a blank, cold look, and as the Conqueror turned her head away, she growled in a cold, distant voice.
Leave me.
Gabrielle quickly got up and exited the room. The Conqueror did not come out of her chambers for the rest of the day, nor did she lend counsel to anyone, including Abraxas, which really concerned him. When Ophelia sent her evening food tray up, it was returned, untouched.
"Here we go again, Ophie,"
Safina said to her while putting the tray down that she had just brought back from the Conqueror's room.
"Oh, dear. Not this again,"
Ophelia said exasperatedly, while putting her hands on her hips and shaking her head with a sad look.
"Yes, not a bite. Only takes a sip of water, stares at the fireplace out the window."
Safina began removing the food off the tray.
"She wouldn't even talk to Abraxas."
"Okay, give her a day. If none changes, then I'll bring out my weapons of destruction."
That night, Gabrielle lay in her bed, staring up at the ceiling.
"What was that look? Why did she sound so cold?"
she thought to herself. She was so deep in thought, she didn't hear Nika enter. Nika walked in and sat down.
"Hey, Gabrielle, there's an Amazon warrior outside in the courtyard. She has to see you." "Oh, Nika, could you do me a great favor? Tell her that I'm asleep, and you'll let me know her message in the morning. Please?"
Gabrielle pleaded with her hands together.
Okay, but you're going to have to explain this to me, young lady."
She winked while rising to exit the room.
"I will, Nika. I promise. Just as soon as I figured it out myself,"
she replied, which made Nika turn back to her with eyebrows furrowed together in concern at her statement. A few candle drops later, Nika returned.
"She said it was okay. Nothing important." "Thank you, Nika. I owe you,"
Gabrielle replied and turned in bed to face the wall, thus letting her know she didn't want to talk anymore. Chapter 18. The next morning, Gabrielle was up bright and early, though she didn't have her heart in it. She knew she needed to practice and to learn what she could while Effie was there to show her. After a candle mark of training, she quickly left Effie with a quiet thank you and returned to her duties in the kitchen, still perturbed at the Conqueror's reaction to her the day before. Usually talkative and animated, she was very quiet and pensive, a change that was not lost on Ophelia when she went about her duties. When she was asked, she simply shrugged it off as tired from a bad night's sleep. After a few days, the Conqueror finally emerged from her self-imposed seclusion, looking haggard and lost. But that was the least of changes in her, as the time alone had done nothing but brew her ire and set her temper on the edge. While walking across the compound to find Abraxas, she came upon some soldiers mock-playing with their swords and acting out a previous evening's revelry.
"Oh, my pretty little slave girl, what have we here?"
said one of the soldiers, a young man with dark hair who was near 20 or so seasons. The second soldier, another one of similar age but with blonde curly, replied back,
"Oh, please, kind lord, I will do anything to repay for my mistake,"
holding up his hands as in prayer for forgiveness. A third soldier threw his head back in laughter.
"Yeah, that's when he took her in the back room and she prayed out loud."
He slapped the first soldier on the back.
"So you think it's funny that a woman begs forgiveness, do you?"
came the feral growl of the Conqueror, and all three soldiers turned in the direction of the growl as the color drained from each of their faces.
"I asked you a question,"
she hissed.
No, Lord Conqueror,"
the black-haired youth stammered.
We may not disrespect Lord Conqueror,"
each of them now facing her and looking up to her piercing stare, as they were all a head shorter than her. Abraxas was crossing the compound in the opposite direction when he saw the Conqueror looming over these men and saw the look of absolute horror etched across their faces.
"No disrespect? What do you call laughing at some poor woman's begging for mercy? Fodder for your entertainment?"
She was moving forward now, the tension in her body uncoiling as the beast began to awaken. She grabbed the one who laughed by his tunic and threw him against a courtyard wall, as if tossing a rag into the wind, where he slid down to the ground, unconscious. She then picked up the blonde one and held him by his throat with her left hand, while reaching across her own chest with her right hand and backhanded him across the jaw, and pushed him into a horse trough. She then turned to the black-haired man, who was more boy than man.
"So you think you're a man," she hissed, "'cause you can make a woman beg for mercy."
She stalked him.
"Then stand up now and take it like a man."
She drew back and punched him in the stomach, causing him to drop to the ground, doubled over, wretch. Abraxas is now standing there, unable to do anything, This was her army. Her punishment for whatever crime she believed were done. And he really didn't want to get in her bad side anyways. She lifted the boy up by his hair and reeled her right arm back, hitting him with an undercut fist to the jaw. That heard bones crush under it as it flipped him over onto the ground, unconscious. She drew in a deep breath, taming the beast back. Walking up to Abraxas, she told him,
"They are to be demoted to scrubbing stables and digging privy trenches."
Looking at him square in the eyes, which caused him to flinch and lower his gaze, she waited for his response.
"I don't conquer,"
he said as he turned away and called for help to take him to Titimus. She stormed into her private study and paced back and forth, willing the beast to return to its hold, as it had been given its free rein for the time being. Once she had calmed down, she sat down and began going through scrolls of requests with a heavy sigh.
"Lord Conker,"
Abraxas knocked on the outer doors.
"Enter,"
she replied without looking up from her scrolls.
"Seems as though we have been asked to assist several towns with sentries to protect them against these growing attacks,"
she told him as he walked in and stood.
I can see that they would want that now, as word is spreading of the damage these bastards inflict when they attack,"
he said with an edge of anger in his words.
"Well, maybe Rome can handle the northern border, and we can then focus on our own territories. This way we might be able to slow down, prevent any more from happening."
She sat back in a chair and motioned him to sit.
"Aye. Would you send word to Rome of this as a request or a suggestion?"
"Neither," she replied. "I'm calling in a marker."
"Oh,"
was all he said, and he started to fidget with the hilt of his sword while looking down to the ground.
"Out with it, Abraxas,"
she sighed heavily.
"I don't have the patience today."
"I really hate when they dawdle," she said to herself.
"Well, Lord Conker, there's a concern about how..."
he stammered.
"Abraxas,"
she started in a growl.
"Well, we are a bit concerned about you, Lord Conker."
She merely arched one eyebrow and waited.
"You seem a bit edgy. Off, Lord Conker. Has something happened that we can assist with?"
he asked with sincerity in his voice now, taking a deep breath.
"While I appreciate everyone's concern, Abraxas, no, thank you. This is something I need to sort out on my own."
She replied with an acknowledging nod of her head. He knew that was the end of the subject and rose.
"I'll see to your orders, then."
She nodded and went back to her scrolls as he saluted and exited. The next few days were uneventful as Conker kept to her own company, working in her study in the day and staying in her room at night. She had taken a few meals, but nothing of note. Gabrielle had stuck with her training with Ephany, who was seeking her out more and more, but to no avail, as Gabrielle was still perplexed as to why the Conqueror was so cold towards her that one time, and had since ignored her, causing Gabrielle to retreat to herself as well. One night, while sitting in a room looking out into the newly fallen snow, the Conqueror took in a deep breath and closed her eyes. When she exhaled, a single lonely tear ran down her cheek. She reached up with her fingertips and touched her cheek. Pulling her fingertips back, she saw the tips glisten with the wetness of that tear. Then she suddenly felt a presence that made the hair on the nape of her neck stand up. With one fluid movement, she turned and drew her sword.
"Whoa! You really have got to put that thing away before you hurt someone, namely me,"
said Aphrodite as she disappeared and reappeared on the other side of the room.
Goddess Aphrodite!
The Conqueror blinked, quickly wiping the tear away.
"Well, with welcome like that, no wonder people are afraid of you,"
Aphrodite tissed.
"My apologies, goddess. I thought..."
She did not finish.
"Oh, don't worry, love. He knows not to set foot around here right now. Daddy has him under strict orders and a very watchful eye," she replied.
The Conqueror sheathed the sword and walked over to the hearth, sitting down quietly.
"Xena, what's wrong?"
Aphrodite asked while walking over to her side and sat down. Her response was a shrug.
"Still no luck putting it all together, huh?"
"Goddess, when I thought I had a possible piece to the puzzle, I wound up being all wrong."
The Conqueror rose, putting a hand through her hair in frustrated action.
"And it hurts like Hades,"
she said in an almost whisper. Aphrodite did not reply. She wanted to hear the conqueror's words, to see if she was right. I thought I had met my dream mate, but it seems she's already spoken for. She said sadly, while staring into the fire.
What?
Asked the bewildered Aphrodite. Nothing. Just made a mistake. I think I've figured it out now, though. This suitor, Satori, she must be the one in my dreams that Morpheus sends me. I just presumed.
She trailed off, looking into the fire, forlornly. The crack of the wood brought her out of a trance of the flames.
But that'll teach me. When she sends word for a request for a private audience, it will all be done but final.
The conqueror said, as if passing a sentence of death upon herself. No, Aphrodite said while rising from her seat.
All wrong! Explain to me, Zeno, what has happened, step by step, and don't leave any detail out.
She commanded in a voice that left no room for misinterpretation. After explaining all that she knew to the goddess since their last encounter, Aphrodite turned.
Zeno, I want you to hold off all thoughts of accepting a meeting for the moment. I need to speak with my sister about something of utmost importance.
She walked a few paces while straightening out her gown. Do yourself a favor, Zeno. Put all those thoughts out of your head and listen. She approached the conqueror and placed her hand over the conqueror's chest.
To your heart. Okay.
Then taking her hand and placing two fingers under the conqueror's chin, tilting her head up to meet her eyes.
Trust me on this, Zeno, and the only tear you'll ever shed again will be for joy.
Aphrodite said gently as she wiped away the remnant trace of the tear and then disappeared. After a restless night, the conqueror rose early and spent the morning in her usual manner, going over petitions in her study. Gabrielle met with Effany again for their now familiar training grounds, hiding from roving eyes.
My Lady Gabrielle, you're getting remarkably better with your staff, Effany said, getting a bit winded at having to block Gabrielle's offensive moves.
I have been training at any moment I can, even if I can't use a staff. I used a hand movement,
Gabriel replied with a smile at the acknowledgement she was getting better.
Well, it shows,
Effany said while putting up a hand in a stopping motion to halt the day's training session.
At this rate, you won't need me to train you. You'll be able to spar on even ground,
motioning to sit down and take a drink of water. After a few moments, Effany rose and, turning to Gabriel, said,
Well, I know you must get to your duty, so I won't keep you, my lady. I shall see you in the morning, then. Good day.
Leaving behind a stunned Gabriel, sitting on the boulder.
Effany, I thought we could, we'd sit and talk a bit, but if you must go.
My lady, I always have greatly enjoyed any time with you. It just seems as though you did not want to talk with me of late.
Effany could not look at Gabriel as she said this.
I'm sorry, Effany. I've had some things on my mind of late, and with my duties, I really have no time for anyone, anything. But I'm free this morning,
she asked tentatively.
Will you sit and take some time with me?
Once again, it would be my heart, my lady,
she said as she sat down next to her.
Effany, why was it that you and the Amazons came to see the conqueror?
Queen Melissa had to tell the conqueror something that pertained to her of high importance,
Effany replied while leaning forward and placing her elbows on her knees.
Oh, was it bad news?
Well, she didn't think it was good news, but it could be if she so chose.
What do you mean?
Gabrielle mimicked her posture.
It is not for me to say. I'm sorry, my lady. It is for the conqueror to know and deal with.
I didn't mean to pry. Sorry.
No need to apologize, my lady, but can I ask you something?
Sure, Effany, what is it?
Taking a deep breath and looking around.
Will you dine with me tonight?
I...
Gabrielle stammered and could see the dejection in the slump of the regent's shoulders.
Sure. Let me get done with my chores and I'll meet you.
Effany looked up, shocked. She actually accepted.
Excellent. I'll see you this evening.
She rose and extended her hand to help Gabrielle out. Gabrielle smiled nervously and nodded her head.
What am I doing?
She thought to herself. Chapter 19. The rest of the day went too quickly as far as she was concerned, and before she realized it, all her duties were done and she was due to meet Effany for dinner. Effany sat at a small table in the dining hall, worrying a bit of the table with her fingernail when she saw Gabrielle come in out of the corner of her eye. She rose as Gabrielle came nearer and pulled out a chair for her to sit, which Gabrielle cordially accepted and did not go unnoticed by those in the dining area. The meal was being enjoyed in companionable conversation. Eponin had been given permission to start eating soft foods after having the wires removed from her mouth, and asked if she could join both of them at their table, to which Effany was about to object, but Gabrielle accepted before she could reply.
So she staggers in, mind you, about 9 Amazon feathers to the wind at this point, and says to them she heard it on the grapevine.
Gabrielle broke out in laughter, joined by Effany, once she had finished telling the story about Eponin, who was now a scarlet color and had even started laughing herself.
Oh, Eponin, you did not, did you?
Gabrielle asked, while trying to wipe the tears from her eyes from laughing so hard, and began laughing again when Eponin grew a deeper shade and nodded up and down.
Oh, you are too much.
They had finished their meals and the warriors shared a goblet of wine or two while talking about the stories that had happened to the Amazon village. Gabrielle had begun to relax and actually enjoy herself, admonishing herself for her earlier feelings of trepidation. After helping clean up the dishes for the night, Effany asked Gabrielle if she would mind walking around the palace grounds in attempts to settle the meal and enjoy the rest of the evening before saying goodnight. Eponin made herself scarce at this point with a wink towards Effany before leaving. Gathering up her cloak, Gabrielle walked along the pathway leading from the palace towards the Amazon encampment with Effany at her side.
Thank you for having dinner with me tonight, my lady,
Effany began.
It was actually quite nice to laugh for a change.
Oh, no, thank you, Effany. I have never heard stories like that, and didn't even realize those things actually happened.
Gabrielle snickered at the memory.
Yeah, with Eponin around, you never really know what's going to happen. She is a character, all right, but a good stick, and I always like to have her on my side when things happen.
Effany adjusted her cloak.
Has she helped you out before?
Yes. Saved a few of the others in our last battle against an attack. We were traveling back from the winter trades.
Effany looked to Gabrielle.
They ambushed us, but we managed to survive with only minor injuries, thanks to her helping out 2 of our newest warriors from getting skewered.
Oh, was everyone okay? Did you get the people responsible?
Gabrielle asked, while rubbing her arms over each other to get warm.
Yeah, we're okay. Can't say the same for our attackers.
Why? What happened to them?
Amazon justice. They were tried, sentenced, and punished.
Bet they won't do that again,
Gabrielle replied.
No, they won't. They're dead,
Effany stated, matter-of-factly, which stopped Gabrielle in her tracks.
Are you okay?
Effany turned to Gabrielle when she realized she had stopped and was no longer walking by her side.
Yeah. Just didn't expect that.
It is our law, my lady. If we are attacked without provocation, and there are any survivors, they are given a defense counsel, and then they must stand trial for their crimes.
Effany explained as she walked up Gabrielle.
It is our laws to protect us, and as warriors we make sure these laws are enforced to protect our way of life.
I understand,
she stated back.
Do you, my lady? Do you see that I am a warrior, and these are my people that I must protect, and laws that I must uphold?
Effany said, while coming closer to Gabrielle.
That I will do what I can for those that I care for?
Gabrielle nodded. Stepping closer, she continued.
Even if it means my own death?
Again, Gabrielle nodded.
Do you know I care for you, my lady?
Gabrielle did not respond. She did not move. Effany reached up with a hand to Gabrielle's face. Cupping her chin gently, she lifted it to face her as the winter moon cast its light upon it.
And I will do what I can for you.
Looking into her eyes, she leaned down and just barely touched Gabrielle's lips with her own when Gabrielle pulled away.
I've never...
Nervous and embarrassed, Gabrielle turned away.
My lady, it's okay.
Effany could see how distressed she had become.
I did not mean to presume or to rush you. I'm sorry.
She walked up next to her after a candid drop of silence.
Let me walk you back to the palace. It has gotten late and you must rest.
They walked back to the palace in silence, unaware of the eyes that watched them.
At the door to the servants' quarters, Gabrielle turned to Effany.
Thank you, Effany, for dinner and our talk. If it would be okay with you, I'd like to sleep in tomorrow.
She said, looking to the ground, unable to lift her eyes to meet Effany's.
Of course, my lady. When you are ready. I will wait,
Effany said, reaching for Gabrielle's hand, and not wishing to distress her anymore, giving it a gentle squeeze and letting go. She watched Gabrielle enter the room and close the door.
I hope she realized what I meant,
Effany said to herself, letting go of a sigh, and turning to walk towards her encampment. Chapter 20.
Safina, after my bath is drawn, I would like for dinner to be sent up immediately,
the Conqueror requested.
Yes, Lord Conqueror.
The weather had begun to turn to its cold counterpart. Winter was creeping over the last vestiges of summer's warmth, turning the once colorful landscape into its dull and drab lonely world of cold. All of the fireplaces were stoked continually throughout the palace, and all the windows shut tight to keep in the comfortable warmth. The Conqueror had invited the Amazons to join in the palace, but Queen Melosa had declined, stating that they were used to living in the nature's elements. After her morning drill sessions, the Conqueror met with Queen Melosa and Abraxas to try and figure out a way to get a reinforcements for some of the villages and any updates from the priestess. Stretching, she rose and entered her bath chamber, discarding her clothes in a pile and stepping into the steaming water.
Oh, this feels good. I'm getting to feel parts I thought I'd frozen off,
she thought to herself. Once the water started to cool, which wasn't very long, she exited the bath and dried off quickly, dressing into a clean shift and soft boots. The Conqueror walked over to her dining table, her mouth watered from the scent of one of her favorite things, a puff pastry Ophelia knew she loved. Lifting the lid, she found only one piece with a note.
Lord Conqueror, I knew you would pick up this tray first over your meal, but you need to eat something substantial first. Once I know you have, I'll send up the rest. Ophi.
Why that little...
P.S. I know you could have my head, but I made these for you, and...
Written on a very small note rolled up inside the first one was the rest of the note.
I care and I love you, Ophi.
Damn. I hate when she blackmails on me like that,
the Conqueror said with a smirk, popping the pastry into her mouth and sitting down to eat her dinner. After finishing a meal, to what she believed would be satisfactory to Ophelia, and hoping for the release of the hostage desserts, she set the tray away and requested Gabrielle.
Gabrielle, child, take this tray up to the Conqueror, Ophelia asked.
Okay, Ophi,
she replied, not really caring about what chore she was doing. Once again, Ophelia noticed her distractedness throughout the day and made a mental note to talk to her about it upon her return. Gabrielle knocked on the door to the Conqueror's chambers, as she had not been summoned for quite some time. Recalling that her last encounter with the Conqueror was when she had been told to leave, and the vision of the Conqueror's haunted eyes still remained in her mind.
Order,
was heard by her and the door guards. Gabrielle walked in, placing the tray on the table by the fireplace, and waiting for the command to be dismissed. But the Conqueror was not in her chair as normal, nor for that matter did she see her upon entering the room. Not looking about, she stood with her hands clasped in front of her, and her head bowed. After a few candle drops, she was startled by the velvety voice.
Gabrielle.
Yes, my lord,
she replied shakily.
I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want you to answer them,
the voice said, but she could not see where the Conqueror was, as only then did she realize the room was pitch black. All the candles had been put out, and the only light in the room came from the fireplace flames.
Yes, my lord.
I want you to tell me what happened in Trachis,
commanded the Conqueror. Gabrielle stiffened at this command. She knew she could not avoid telling her, as it was an order. It felt like it was a candle mark before she could get her throat to relax enough for her to swallow. But in reality, it was only a candle drop. Swallowing audibly, her body began to shake and she closed her eyes in an attempt to calm her beating heart. The images came flooding back into her mind.
Yes, my lord,
she finally said shakily.
I had been taken as a slave several seasons prior to that, and had been sold to two or three different masters by then. I was lucky in that they were
either too busy to notice me, always drunk or very lousy gamblers, and lost me in a game of chance as a form of payment or debt. On the last change of masters, we were all taken when he was killed. All his possessions were taken and brought to Trachis.
The Conqueror was circling round the room, walking stealthily so as not to startle the young girl, as she watched her struggle to get her words out.
When I arrived at Trachis, our new master was not known to us. We were told our duties and went to work immediately.
She stopped and took a very deep, ragged breath.
I had heard of the many proclivities of men and women by other slaves, but had always been spared finding out firsthand. With this monster, though, I was very afraid. It was just something in my feelings. One night, I was awoken by a child screaming. I tried to find out what was going on, but was told by the other slaves to mind my own business and be grateful to the gods that I was seasons older than the rest.
The flames from the fireplace reflected in the tears now escaping their barriers and running freely down her cheeks. The Conqueror watched from the shadows, the scene being told to her stirring the dormant beast.
This went on and off for several moons, and no one would tell me what was happening. Then I began to notice some of the children were gone for long times on end, only to return with a broken arm or leg or severely beaten. Then I realized it was only the little girls that were suffering. They would shrink back at any sudden movement and freeze when touched.
Then something the Conqueror had not seen before caught her attention. She watched as Gabrielle's disposition changed to unleashed anger and frustration. Her hands were clenched into tight fists at her sides, their white knuckles clearly evident to the Conqueror's sharp eyes.
One night, as I finished my duties outside, a few of the slaves carried a litter by on the way to the accession of the fort, where a room was used to treat injuries. When I followed them out of curiosity, I saw with my own eyes what had caused their anguished screams in the night. A little girl, no more than 7 seasons old, lay in the litter. She bled from her...
Gabrielle lowered her head at the vision before her mind's eye.
She was covered in blood below the waist. Her eyes were half closed, but I could see the emptiness in them, even though she was still breathed.
Gabrielle stopped and took a steadying breath.
This happened every time there was a new change in slaves, or when he returned from a trip away in one of his moods.
Suddenly, Gabrielle felt cold. She could not see anything, but felt there was a change in the room. It was as if the fire had been doused and the windows thrown open to the winter night's air. She swore she heard a caged animal's breathing, panting, and pacing back and forth in room, but could see nothing. She rubbed her arms to fend off the chill, though the fireplace was roaring when he steps away.
There was this little girl. Her name was Lucindas. She was only 6 seasons old when she came to us. She had small curly blonde locks and blue-green eyes the color of the sea.
The tears were rolling down her cheeks again, and her breathing had become ragged.
I always thought that if I had children, I would want them to look like her, but now I don't. She was taken one night, 3 moons after being there. I didn't even hear when they took her. All I remember is her scream, her absolute horrifying scream, then silence. I ran towards where I heard her, but was stopped by 2 of his Nubian slaves and given a beating. I was brought back by the others when they heard and saw what happened to me. They helped me with my cuts and bruises. The next day I could not find Lucindas, or the next day after that. It was 3 days until I saw her, and it was the last time I saw her. They had released her from the sickbed in the treaty room. She could barely walk along the fort. I called for her, but she simply stared vacantly out to the ocean.
A gulp.
She stared through me with dead eyes. She walked towards the edge of the fort, out towards the bay. It was too late before I realized where she was going.
Gabrielle sank to her knees, crying into her hands that now cradled her face.
She jumped into the bay from a cliff wall. She was only a child, and she chose to kill herself.
Gabrielle shouted, looking up into the blackness of the room. The Conqueror was at her side in an instant, gathering her up from the floor in a supportive embrace. Gabrielle's sobs were muffled against the Conqueror's chest as she held her, her tears soaking the soft shift that now caressed her face. The Conqueror held her with strong, gentle arms, willing her strength and calmness. Gabrielle wrapped her arms around the Conqueror's waist, unconsciously holding on for dear life as the tears came uncontrollably, every sob racking her body until she was spent. The Conqueror's arms held Gabrielle's now exhausted body, strong arms that held her firmly, but comfortingly. One hand began rubbing her back in soothing motions up and down, while the other cupped her head and gently held her to her shoulder.
"It's okay. I've got you."
The Conqueror kissed Gabrielle's head.
"Let it go. Let it go. Once you've freed this burden from your soul, you'll feel better."
She kissed her head again and breathed in the soothing scent of her hair.
"Are you all right?"
The Conqueror asked a candle mark later, still holding Gabrielle in her arms. She felt her nod her head.
"Do you want to finish?"
she asked her.
"Yes, yes, I need to,"
came the raspy reply.
"Okay,"
was all the Conqueror said, waiting for Gabrielle to gather her thoughts, strength, and continue. The Conqueror continued stroking her back in the soothing motion, holding her so close she relished the feel of having her in her arms, feeling her warm body against hers.
I was stunned. I was lost. All the others accepted her death as normal part of their lives as slaves. I could not. First, I became sullen and quiet. I wouldn't talk to anyone and was always angry at them for not caring. And then I realized they couldn't because it hurt them too much.
She took a deep breath while bringing her hand up from the Conqueror's waist to wipe her eyes.
I swore then and there that not another child would suffer that horror, no matter what.
The Conqueror gave her a small squeeze, giving her comfort and strength to go on.
And one day, he returned from one of his trips. He sent one of his Nubian slaves to pick out the new child. I was out doing my chores when I heard her pleading with him to let her go. I pretended to take up a tray of food and wine for his enjoyment. When I went in, he was trying to take her, and I went towards him, and when he turned, I kicked him in the groin.
The Conqueror gave a small snort at the thought of her doing that, though she knew it was not a humor story. This caused Gabrielle to smile meekly and embarrassed at what she had done. She continued.
He let go of her, dropped to his knees. I grabbed her and tried to get her out, but he grabbed me instead. All I remember was yelling for her to run and being hit across the face. The rest I don't remember.
She shrugged in her attempts to explain as why she was stopping.
It's okay. You don't have to worry about that. Unless you want to know.
The Conqueror said above her head that was tucked under her chin. Gabrielle nodded her head.
I heard when he hit you. I was walking up the corridor when it happened. He must have picked up a chair and that's how your leg was broken, when he hit you with it.
The Conqueror could feel the shudder in her arms.
When I came in, they had put you to the whipping post, and he was drawing back for another strike, but I took the whip from his hands. That's when I sent you to Titimus.
She finished, still rubbing Gabrielle's back.
No one will hurt you, little one. Not while I breathe.
She whispered into her hair, kissing the top of her head again. After a few candle drops of silence, the Conqueror spoke to her again.
Is that why you asked your lover to help you?
Gabrielle pulled back from the Conqueror, confusion written on her face.
My lord? My lover?
Yes. The Amazon region, Effany,
she replied, releasing Gabrielle and turning to walk to the table. Gabrielle stiffened at the remark, confusion and dread at the implications of what the Conqueror had said.
My lord, she's not... I never...
She stammered.
Is it the reason you asked her to help you break the law? The law that clearly states no slave is to be taught to use a weapon under penalty of death?
She continued flatly, her back to Gabrielle.
My lord!
She dropped her knees, pleading.
Please, my lord, spare her! She only did so on my beseeching her. She only meant to help me.
You love her that much to plead for her life? The Conqueror asked, attempting to master her in a voice that what she believed she saw.
My lord, she is my friend. Nothing more. She offered me her kindness and help. I couldn't ask someone to pay for my mistakes. Those are mine to bear.
She continued to cry.
I only wanted to be able to protect the children, my lord. She has trained me to do so. For I cannot hurt anyone.
She tried to control her breathing and tears.
What would your lover say if I asked her?
The Conqueror asked, needing to know if it was indeed the truth.
She's not my lover,
sobbed Gabrielle.
But she kissed you!
The Conqueror's jealousy finally winning out over her resolve.
She tried, my lord.
A brief pause.
But I could not. I don't know how.
Gabrielle stopped. She was hurting, confused, and embarrassed, and didn't know how to sort out her emotions. Her crying was uncontrollable, and her emotions were wreaking havoc on her already spent body.
Oh, my lord, please.
She pleaded in a strangled and anguished voice. The Conqueror turned to see her on the floor, crumpled into a heap, with her face in her hands, on her knees, begging. It tore through her, wrenching her heart at having had caused this picture now before her. She knelt down, picking Gabrielle back up into her arms.
I'm so sorry. So, so sorry.
She whispered into her hair.
I just had to know.
She continued in the hushed tone as she placed a kiss on the head tucked under her chin again. She wrapped her arms around Gabrielle, pulling her more into her body with a gentleness that belied her strong appearance. She could feel how weak Gabrielle's body was, as if there was no strength left in her from all the emotional drain. The Conqueror leaned over and scooped Gabrielle into her arms, carrying her over to her bed and laid her down gently. Gabrielle stirred, her eyes closed from lack of energy.
Shh, it's okay. It's okay. Please don't cry.
The Conqueror said in a soothing voice. She tentatively sat on the edge of the bed, reaching over to the small bedside table and taking a small cloth. She wet it with water from the pitcher that sat there, and squeezed it out to make sure it was only damp. Taking the cloth, she wiped the tears from Gabrielle's face, and then wiped her forehead.
Rest, little one, rest. You're tired.
The Conqueror soothed, wiping the hair away from Gabrielle's eyes.
Rest. You're safe here.
The Conqueror covered her with a blanket, and began caressing her hair, lulling her into sleep. As Gabrielle began to cross over into Morpheus's realm, she swore she could hear the faintly whispered words,
I would never hurt you, Gabrielle, for I have found my dream mate in you,
and felt a feather-like kiss to her forehead just as she crossed over. Chapter 21 Stretching, Gabrielle felt tired but rested in an odd sort of way. She snuggled down further into the very warm, soft covers as a smile touched the corners of her lips. Then her eyes snapped open, the realization of the previous night's confession and revelations coming to her in a breath, causing her to bolt upright into a sitting position, practically into the concerned face of the Conqueror.
Hey, hey, easy, easy,
Conqueror said, easing her back onto the upright pillows with a gentle hand. Where's the fire?
My lord,
Gabrielle tried to speak, her eyes the size of saucers, as she looked about the room and realized she was in the Conqueror's room.
In the Conqueror's bed.
Shh, it's okay, Gabrielle. I put you here last night. You were exhausted, pretty much passed out from it.
I should get up. I've taken your bed. I need to tend your needs, my duties. I beg your forgiveness, my lord.
She prattled on as she sat up to remove the sheet covering her.
Gabrielle, take a breath.
The Conqueror interrupted. Gabrielle stopped all motion and closed her open mouth in mid-sentence.
There. That's better now.
The Conqueror stated with a slight twinkle in her eyes, putting her at ease and watched as Gabrielle sat back.
Yes, my lord.
Okay. Now, if you're feeling better, you can try to get up.
The Conqueror said with a bit of concern to her voice, and she herself rose from the edge of the bed and walked across the room to the table. Gabrielle pulled the covers back and swung her legs off the bed, only to discover her shoes were off. Looking down to the floor, she saw them neatly placed to the edge of the bed.
I took them off last night when you were asleep.
The Conqueror stammered after seeing Gabrielle's confused look from her feet to the floor.
I thought you'd sleep better with them off.
My lord is most kind. I do not deserve such kindness,
Gabrielle said, reaching down and putting them on.
No, you deserve better,
was whispered back. Gabrielle cocked her head at the statement and curious as to why it was whispered.
My lord, may I get you your breakfast and prepare your bath?
Gabrielle asked now that she was standing and bowed her head.
No. No, thank you, Gabrielle.
I have someone I need to see first thing, and I'd rather not have a clean, refreshed feeling for this encounter, she replied solemnly. Shaking her head to clear her thoughts for the moment, she crossed the room to where Gabrielle stood. Trembling slightly, she reached for Gabrielle's hand and pulled it up and ran a thumb across the tops of her fingers.
Gabrielle, I'm sorry for the pain you went through.
She looked up from their joined hands into Gabrielle's eyes, looking at her. They stood there, entranced, neither moving. They just stared intently into each other's eyes, as if transfixed by a common bond. The Conqueror reached up with her other hand, and cupped Gabrielle's face ever so gently, tracing a thumb over Gabrielle's lips, and then leaned closer to her. Gabrielle closed her eyes as if waiting for this moment was a dream finally come true. It was here. But not what she expected. For the Conqueror placed a soft kiss to her forehead, and abruptly left without a word. Absolutely confused as to what had transpired last night, and this morning, had left Gabrielle emotionally spent and physically exhausted, she made her way down to the kitchen to begin her chores for the day. Upon entering, she saw Ophelia stop what she was doing and walk over to her while wiping her hands on her ever-present apron in the process.
Gabrielle, are you all right? I was worried about your child.
Ophelia said softly with concern in her voice and eyes while looking at Gabrielle from head to toe as if for something amiss in her condition. Gabrielle smiled tiredly. She knew Ophelia was concerned, as she only called her by her name when she was either troubled or worried.
I'm okay, Ophi. Just tired.
Taking her by the hand, Ophelia led her to a chair and sat her down, then sat bustling about to get her a mug of hot cider and warm bread fresh from the bake.
Sit here and eat and drink, child. Your eyes seem swollen and puffy. What happened to you?
Nika was just concerned when you didn't return last night and had her suspicions. But when that Amazon came looking for you this morning, well, we all got to worrying.
Their concern touched her heart, as Gabrielle had never had anyone care about her that she could recall in her recent life. But at the mention of the Amazon region, Gabrielle's head shot up, and she nearly choked on the cider.
Effany! Oh, God!
The previous night's conversation came rushing to her.
Your lover. Breaking the law. Penalty of death.
Then this morning's words, spoken with bitterness.
I have someone I need to see first thing, and I'd rather not have a clean, refreshed feeling for this encounter.
Bolting up from the seat, she ran from the kitchen, not saying a word to the shocked Ophelia as she flew past her. She ran through the palace corridor, first looking about as she did. Then she ran through the courtyard, each step causing her heart to race more from the fear rather than use. Gabrielle ran through the training grounds, which only had the Conqueror's soldiers in practice. Not finding the reason for her search, she ran towards the Amazon encampment. Many eyes turned to follow her, not for her frantic actions, but for the mere fact she wore no cloak in the near-freezing temperature. As she approached the Regent's tent, she could hear a voice and then see a shadow behind the material.
You didn't listen, and now this cost you dearly.
Blindly screaming, she rushed into the tent.
No, please!
When she stopped suddenly, she saw the Regent. She was seated opposite Eponine, playing the board game Kingsman, both women staring back startled at the wild woman before them. Effany heard the scream just a moment before Gabrielle ran into her tent, having not had a moment to even to react. She looked up at Gabrielle standing there looking at the two of them with a wild look about her. She then looked over to Eponine, who just shook her head and shrugged in confusion at her unasked questions.
My Lady Gabrielle?
Effany said, gathering her senses and rising with concern.
Is something wrong? Has something happened?
As she moved towards Gabrielle and reached for her, putting a hand to her forearm. Gabrielle's eyes rolled up and back
as she passed out. Effany grabbed her just in time as she went limp and fell to the ground. Eponin jumped up to help her regent with the now heavy burden and move her to sit over at the table.
Pony, get some water and cloth, quick!
Eponin quickly went over and retrieved the pitcher and a goblet. Pouring some, she handed it to Effany, who bent down and shook Gabrielle awake.
My lady! Gabrielle!
Gabrielle stirred and opened her eyes.
Here, drink this.
She handed Gabrielle the goblet.
Are you okay?
Gabrielle brought the cup to her mouth and quickly drained it.
Okay, what's going on? What is all this about?
Effany began when she saw that Gabrielle was alert and had put the goblet down. Looking up, Gabrielle looked to Eponin and then back to Effany.
Oh, hey, Pony, give us a candle drop, will you?
Effany asked her weapons master, who nodded and left the tent. Eponin asked as she stood up from in front of Gabrielle to sit down on the chair she pulled over next to her.
I thought... Oh, God!
Gabrielle put her face into her hands.
Come on, you're scaring me here.
Effany put a hand on Gabrielle's shoulder.
She knows, Effany,
Gabrielle stated finally.
Who knows what?
The Conqueror. She knows about you training me. I thought she was...
She was interrupted by Effany.
You thought it was her saying what Pony said?
She nodded.
I can see how that would seem and how it sounded.
She leaned back.
So you came in to save me, eh?
Effany felt a bit of cocky elation at thinking Gabrielle cared enough about her to rush in and stop what she thought to be her punishment for breaking the law. Her death.
How could I let you suffer for my choices? That would be cowardly. And you only trained me because I beseeched you, not by your own doing.
I did so of my own accord, my lady Gabrielle. Remember what I said. We make our own choice.
Effany tried to reason.
But it is nice to know you care. Care enough about me to risk your own life and try and save me.
She leaned forward as to kiss Gabrielle, but was thwarted when Gabrielle abruptly stood up.
I asked you to break a law, Effany. A law that could cost us our lives.
She stood looking down into Effany's face.
I didn't think clearly enough to realize what that meaning of that penalty was until this moment. I should never have asked such a thing. I had no right to ask you to possibly forfeit your life for the sake of training me.
My lady Gabrielle, I told you, as a warrior, I do what I have to protect those I care for, and you, my lady, I care a great deal for.
She made to reach for Gabrielle, but she pulled away.
But you also said, as a warrior, we must uphold the laws, but we just broke one. Not just any other warrior's law, but the Lord Conqueror's law. That was wrong, Effany.
Gabrielle turned to face the entrance of the tent.
My lady, Gabrielle, I'd do anything to protect you, even if it meant breaking the law.
She rose and put a hand on Gabrielle's left shoulder, turning around to face her.
Even if it meant my death.
She put her other hand upon Gabrielle's right shoulder.
Don't you see? I love...
No, don't!
Gabrielle pulled away.
Please, Effany, I can't.
Gabrielle stopped her from continuing.
I care for you a great deal, Effany, but please, don't ask any more of me.
Gabrielle left the tent without saying another word. Walking back to the palace, she felt nothing. She did not feel the cold wind as it blew her hair about. She did not feel the bitter cold chill her skin and cause a blue tinge to set about her. She walked slowly, getting back to the kitchen into a very concerned, somewhat annoyed Ophelia.
Okay, young lady. You sit that tiny honey in that stool, and don't you dare move one cheek off it till I says you can. But I... No buts! Aside from tall duck and brooding, I rule this roost, and when I say sit it...
Ophelia glared at her.
I sit it.
Gabrielle whispered back. The next moment, everyone froze. They all heard the blood-curdling scream, which echoed throughout the palace ground, reaching even to the Amazon encampment. To be continued.
Well, that concludes episode number 108 of When Do You Know? By me, your host, Cass. I hope everyone's enjoying the show. I know that is a cruel, cruel way to leave the show, but then again, you know me.
I am cruel, so there you go.
But that'll keep you in suspense for hopefully next week's show. And I hope everyone's enjoying the little tidbits and extra special things that I'm doing with it.
If anybody has any suggestions for the show, please send me an email at xena.uber@gmail.com. If you have any music suggestions, I'd appreciate if you also send them in at xena.uber@gmail.com. Please, everyone, please make sure that you take a look over on the Blogspot and click on the link and send in a donation for, and support me for my run to raise money for cancer. Anything and everything would be greatly appreciated. And that's going to end this week's show. Now, me, myself, and I am going to be spoiled this weekend. So my partner is taking me out for my birthday. So I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what we're doing. But she said, pack a bag and we're out of here. So happy birthday to me. So everyone, I hope everybody enjoys the show. And until I speak with you again, until the next episode, take care, enjoy life and love. Bye-bye.